How much money do you need so that you can spend $10,000 a month after taxes every single month throughout retirement? When you are retiring early, none of us know how long any of us are going to live, but the last thing I want to have happen is that you run out of money or that you retire too early and you can't spend what you want to spend. So in today's podcast episode, we are going to explore exactly how much money you need so that you can spend $10,000 a month, and I'll give you a few other examples as well. Now, today's episode was prompted by a listener question, another great question. So thank you guys for submitting your questions. I feel like I truly have the best podcast listeners in the world because I listen to a lot of podcasts myself and they'll say, yeah, go submit your question. But I know I personally never do because I just don't think it'll get addressed. However, I want you all to know when you submit these questions, I am literally trying to make this show as effective for you. So I'm going to give you the straight answers of, hey, you want to spend $10,000 a month or $8,000 or $5,000? Here's exactly how much you need. And then during the latter half of the episode, I'm going to walk you through the math of how I get there. Because I know some of you are just like, just tell me the answer. What do I need? Others of you are going, hey, I want to really know how this works. Where are you coming up with this? So I want to make sure both of you, if you can put yourself in one of those buckets, are getting the answer that you want. So this listener question comes from George. I'm going to read this question now. And George says, feel free to use my name. Love the podcast and thank you for the information. You're welcome, George. I'd like to spend $10,000 a month. From my basic projections, it seems I can do so, but I'm not sure. I want to retire early, and I know this money will be needed for some time. Health isn't the greatest, but want to plan for age 95 just in case. Please tell me how much I need. So, great question from George, who says, I want to spend $10,000 a month. Now, I'm going to make some assumptions here. And the first assumption, George, is that you want to spend $10,000 a month after taxes adjusted for inflation. So you want $10,000 every single month, almost think of it like a paycheck, and you can go spend that however you see fit. It can go towards a mortgage payment if you still have a mortgage, it can go to travel, it can go to whatever you'd like, but you want a paycheck to spend $10,000 a month after taxes or $120,000 every single year in retirement. Now, I'm going to tell you just a real quick answer, George, which is you're not going to spend $10,000 every single month. Even if you think you will, you won't, because I have clients right now who are retired early and they're spending more than $10,000. And they came to me wanting to spend $10,000, and I'm encouraging them to spend more because in the years you have your energy and health, I actually want you to. I just want you to do it sustainably, knowing you're not going to run out later. And too many people do not give themselves a bonus when markets are doing well because they're worried when markets don't do well, oh my gosh, am I not going to be able to spend then if I spent too much at the beginning? And I don't want them to think that way either. So what you have to do is have a plan that tells you during what time of the market, when it's doing XYZ, when can you spend a little bit more and when can you temporarily scale that back? And that's called the guardrails approach to spending. So that's one thing I'm going to address at the end of today's podcast. But what I really want to make sure you're all taking away, because I'm sure at some point you're thinking, yep, similar to George, I want to spend $10,000 a month or $5,000 or $8,000 a month. But I've got a quick fun fact for you all. And the fun fact is if you're thinking through what is the average cost of retirement, this comes from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the answer is $52,000. Now that's a good place to start, but a lot of you want to spend a whole lot more than that. And a lot of you want to spend, I'll say a little bit more than that. It's very rare that I'll see less than that. So sometimes people are coming to me and I'm just going to kind of take away a few myths real quick because I want to give you these straight answers. Trust me, I get it. I listen to podcasts as well. But I also want to make sure you are not thinking about any what I call head trash, okay? So a lot of people are coming to me for guidance and sometimes I'm telling them, here are five things I want you to think about and here's 100 I don't want you to think about. So here's the big one, okay? If you are going online and you see an article that says you need $1 million to retire or 2 million or 5 million or 10 million, they are all wrong, okay? Now they're all wrong, not because they're bad people who are writing them, but they're wrong because they have no idea what amount is coming from Social Security. They have no idea if you have a pension. They don't know if you have rental income. They don't know what you want to spend. So by just saying, hey, you need $1 million to retire, some people will come to me and they're like, hey, I just don't think I'm on track. I've only got $800,000, $900,000. Do I have to work 5-10 more years? I go, depends. What other income sources do you have? And they'll say, yeah, well, I've got a pension and you know it's going to cover all my needs. I go, then you don't need $1 million. So just don't be cookie cutters. You look at planning. You might have rental income. You might have inheritance. You might have stock options. All of this has to be configured. So I just don't want any of you needlessly stressing, going, oh my gosh, I don't have $1 million. Am I not going to be okay? Also, you're going to get good growth on your assets if you're investing well. So make sure you're always thinking about that. Now, Let's go to my specific examples here, and I've got a few noted down. If you're listening to this on the podcast app, great. That's how you listen to most of my episodes, I imagine. Some of you prefer the YouTube style, and I'm going to start to post this video of me recording this podcast. So if you actually want to see me go through this, I might put a few fun examples up on the screen, might help you follow along, but you do not have to, okay? I know a lot of you are going, hey, YouTube's great, but I just like the podcast app, and I can put you on 2x speed and go through this. So if you're listening to me on 2x speed, you are impressive, okay? Let me tell you that right now. So how much money do you need to live on $10,000 a month? Here is the answer. The answer is, and I'm making some assumptions here, I'm going to give you the assumptions, give you the answer, and then the math's going to come a little later. So the assumptions I made are the following, that you are retired, you want to spend $10,000 every single month. Okay, that's just not realistic because there's something called the retirement smile. And it's summarized by the fact that you have your go-go years, your slow-go years, and your no-go years, which is you might spend a whole lot more at the beginning, then maybe a little bit less in your 70s and 80s, and then you might have a whole lot more at the end, and you go, I don't want to die with $10 million. I need to spend more, or there's medical expenses. So I'm assuming, George, that you're going to spend $10,000 every single month until you pass away. It's unrealistic, but let's just use it for simple math. Now, I'm also going to assume that you have $4,000 a month coming from Social Security. I'm then going to say, okay, if $4,000 is coming from Social Security and you want to spend $10,000, $6,000 has to come from somewhere else. The question is it rental income? Is it a pension? Is it stock options? Like, how are you doing this? And I'm just going to assume it's in a portfolio, okay? So that portfolio needs to send you $6,000 a month so that you can spend $10,000 a month because you already have four coming from Social Security. So hopefully that follows so far. Let's keep it really simple. Now, I know a lot of you are going, what about taxes? What about Social Security? It's taxed differently. I'm going to go through that, I promise you, but I want to make sure that those of you that are tuning in going, hey, I just need to know the answer. I'm already about 6.5 minutes in here. I want to give you that answer because I know you guys are busy people. So I'm looking at a sustainable withdrawal rate, and if you invest your funds well, ignoring the taxes, not ignoring, I'm factoring in the taxes, but without giving you the whole story of how I come up with what is the effective tax rate in Social Security provisional income tax and all this fancy stuff, the answer is, and I just took out my calculator to literally do this with you guys on the fly, is I'll say, okay, if $6,000 a month is what you need, 6,000 times 12, super simple math, you need $72,000 a year to come from your portfolio. Now we have to account for taxes, and I'm making an assumption here of an effective tax rate of 10%. So it doesn't mean every single dollar is taxed at 10%. We have a marginal system. So here in the US, it varies based on your levels of income, how much you spend, how much you pay in taxes. So what I'm going to do here, I just made an effective tax rate saying 10%. So what that tells me is about $79,000 needs to come from your portfolio so you can account for taxes and still end up with that same $6,000 a month after taxes. Okay, hopefully following so far. Now, what I'm going to do is I take that number and then I'm going to divide that by a sustainable withdrawal rate, okay? Now, a sustainable withdrawal rate, a lot of people talk about the 4% rule. Other people say, you know what? I heard you talk that 4% rule, just not that applicable to an early retirement, which is true, okay? So I'm not going to go on a tangent, I promise you, on the 4% rule, but I don't love the 4% rule because it's not designed for an early retirement. It's designed for a traditional retirement from 65 to 95, which a lot of you have no interest in. So what I do is I take that $79,000 that needs to come from your portfolio and I divide that by 5%. Now, I think you can do more than that. In fact, I know you can because John Guyton's study called the Guardrails Approach shows you can if you invest well and follow certain rules. But the answer is about $1.5 million, okay? It's about $1.5 million, about a little more than that. But let's just say 1.5 to keep it simple. Meaning if you have $1.5 million and you want to make sure that you can retire comfortably and spend $10,000 a month and you invest the right way and you follow the right rules of when you pull from the right accounts, you are in a good spot, okay? Now that assumes $4,000 comes from Social Security. So a lot of you wanna know the math behind this and I'm gonna go through it, but before I do that, I'm gonna give you the same example if you wanna spend $8,000 a month. Now I could do the same exact thing, whether it's five or 15 or 20, and a lot of you know my joke by now, especially a lot of my clients, but I grew up in Malibu, California, very affluent area, and I've talked about my parents often on the show, and a lot of you are like, wow, are they okay with you talking about this? I go, they want me to, okay? Because they don't want you guys to end up working in their 70s. Now, they are house rich, cash poor. What does that mean? It means they have a home worth $6-7 million in Malibu, and it's beautiful, and everyone's jealous, but they're still working in their 70s. Now, luckily, they like what they do, but I'm telling you this story because they don't want to be working to the same degree that they're currently working. And so house rich, cash poor, so you have a really healthy net worth, but it's not worth a whole lot because you can't stop working. The name of the game in retirement is cash flow. So I saw the risk of bad planning growing up, and I saw the value of good planning, and you want to be on the good side. And that's why I love doing what I do. So why am I telling you this? Because there's a lot of characters, okay, I'm putting it nicely, a lot of characters in Malibu that want to spend $40,000 a month, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to spend $40,000 a month, your financial plan needs to look a lot different, and it's not $1.5 million, it's $10 million plus, okay? So nothing wrong, once again, if that's you, a lot of my clients do have those types of assets, and if that's what you want to spend, I want you to spend it. I just don't want you worrying. Okay, now back to my example. So let's assume you want to spend $8,000 a month. Same example here. $4,000 is coming from Social Security, and then another $4,000 has to come from your portfolio. So if I'm accounting for taxes, very simple, about $1 million, a little bit less than that, is needed so that you can retire comfortably, spend $8,000 a month, okay? So if you're wondering, am I even in a good spot? Like, how am I thinking through this? The answer is if you have $1 million plus and $4,000 is coming from Social Security right now, well, yeah, you're in a pretty good spot. If you're open to investing the right ways and you don't have any gaps in your plan of insurance and tax planning is going to be taken care of and all this good stuff, you're going to be in a good spot. Okay. So part of my job is literally making sure you sleep better at night. Not because I'm in the business of rosy pictures. You know this by now. I'm not. I'm in the business of you all retiring early, not second guessing. Am I going to have to, you know, no longer go out to eat, or can I no longer travel to the degree I want to? So those are some things to think through. Now let's go through the math. Okay. So Social Security is taxed differently than if you're just taking money from your portfolio, okay? So Social Security has a rule called provisional income tax, which means only a portion of your Social Security is actually included in your taxable income. It gets complicated quickly, but I have videos on it, and I have another podcast going through Social Security tax and how it works. So I'm not going to bore you to the point where you'll fall asleep here, but I want you to know the following, which is when I was going through my example here, which I'm just looking at on my screen, if you're watching on YouTube, a maximum of 85% of your Social Security is taxable income, okay? So as I'm looking at this example here, let's go back to the $10,000 a month. I'm assuming an effective tax rate, meaning a blended tax rate of 10%. So what does that mean? That means, you know, if you're here in the US, the first, you know, $20,000 or so, I don't have it in front of me, but it's taxed at 10%, then 12%, then 22%, then 24%. So what you want to do is understand what is your effective tax rate. Now, when you retire, a lot of you are going, hey, I'm going to be in like the 0% tax bracket. Like, I don't need a whole lot of income because I have my Social Security and it's not going to get taxed a whole bunch because my income's really low because I'm no longer working. And that's true. But the big thing I'm harping on here, guys, is you need this $6,000 to come from your portfolio. We didn't talk about where it comes from. Is that coming from a Roth IRA? Is it coming from an IRA? Is it coming from a brokerage account? That's going to really change your portfolio. Because one, if you're going to retire early before 65, and let's call it 55 to take an extreme example, well, you can't just pull from your IRA. There's taxes and there's penalties. Now, you can use the rule of 55. And if you're not aware of what that means, is when you retire early, as long as you are retiring 55 or later from your current employer, you can elect to use your 401k to create income. That helps bridge the gap. Except, pro tip, what you don't want to do is just say, you know what, I've got this great brokerage account, but I saw Ari talk about the rule of 55, so I'm going to do that. We don't want to do that, okay? The rule of 55 is great if you have no other options. If you have a brokerage account or if you're selling your home, I'd rather you use those assets, because more often than not, a lot of you that are coming to me are going to get crushed by RMDs later. RMDs stand for required minimum distributions, which is when the government forces you to take out more money than you even want to. So using a brokerage account to do things like Roth conversions and keeping your income really low, it can be wonderful. So I was just using a 10% effective tax rate in this example. So what I did is I essentially took that $72,000 or $6,000 every single month that you needed, and I said, okay, if that's what we need, let's take 10%, call it $7,200, and add that on top for taxes so that when I'm sending you $6,000 a month, we're not just going, well, let's figure out the taxes later. So that's a conservative estimate. Some of my clients are in a way higher tax bracket because they have pensions and rental income and so on. And if that's the case, that's great, once again, but we might need to factor in a whole lot more than $7,200 for taxes to send you $72,000 every year. I've seen it be three times that. And so you just need to account effectively based on your tax situation. Okay. Now, Social Security, once again, a maximum of 85% is including your taxable income. So if we're using my same example of 10% effective tax rate, 85% of that 10%, I know it's confusing, stick with me. So if 10% is the effective tax rate, 85% of that is 8.5%. That's the most that's going to get taxed. Once again, the most for Social Security. So it's not as if you're going, okay, already said the effective tax rate's 10%. That means that everything, Social Security and my portfolio and dividends and interest, it all gets taxed at 10%. That's not how it works. Everything is taxed differently. So once again, going through how much you need, if you wanted to spend $10,000 every single month, George, for the rest of your life, and you have no rental income, no inheritance, you solely have Social Security between you and your spouse of $4,000 a month coming in, I'd say $1.5 million, that's what you would need so you could go live comfortably. Now, you might have $3 million, you might have $4 million, you might have $5 million, but I want to make sure you know what's the most you can spend, okay? So why I'm going to tell you this is I'm doing my calculator right here. And as I'm looking at a $5 million portfolio, because a lot of you have a similar portfolio going, how much can I spend? A lot of you know my dopey joke, but I'm going to give it to you again, which is someone came to me. I'm not going to say their name, but they came to me and said, all right, I'm going to be one of your best clients. I have a super low withdrawal rate because I don't need to take out a lot of my portfolio. I'm going to be one of your best clients. And I told them, you'll be one of my worst clients. Not to be mean, but because the goal in life is not to have the lowest withdrawal rate. If you wanted to do that, go work 50 more years. Your plan will look great. All of you are telling me you want to prioritize your health. You want to spend more time with family. You don't want to work a stressful job. You don't want to deal with commuting. Great. How soon can you retire early with confidence? That's why we're having this conversation. And I truly feel this is a conversation. So $5 million, if we're looking at, you know, what's a sustainable withdrawal rate there? If you had $5 million, I would feel comfortable saying you could spend up to $260,000 a year. Now, the question is that $5 million all in a Roth IRA? Is it in an IRA? So for example, someone came to me and they're like, all right, I've got $1 million. I'm like, no, you don't. They go, yes, I do. I see it in my account right here. I go, you have $750,000. What you're not accounting for is taxes. And they're like, oh yeah, I knew that. I just didn't want to kind of worry about it. So just make sure as you're going through this, you're not ignoring taxes. You're not ignoring inflation and things like that. Now, a few other factors that of course influence all of this that I glossed over, but I just try to keep it simple. I'm telling you guys, there's a lot to this. Don't get overwhelmed. So many people get that analysis paralysis and it's, oh my gosh, taxes. Oh my gosh, Social Security. How do I think about all this? I'll figure it out with either help of a planner, which is of course why I exist. But beyond that, I see people not take action and they go, health insurance. I don't know what that's going to cost. I'm going to keep working. I've never not had traditional health insurance. Don't let that be you. Okay. I'm not saying health insurance isn't a big cost. It is, but I'm saying make sure to absolutely think through it and know how to plan for it. Okay. The thing I want you to think through some takeaways is this ignores a pension, rental income, part-time work, inheritance. It's just a super simple example for George. And if George, if you came to me, this is how I'd walk you through it. Now, it also depends retirement benefits, Social Security. What if something happens to your spouse and you're going, well, $2,000 is coming from me and $2,000 from my spouse, that just went away. So now what happens to this plan? Well now you can't spend that same $10,000 a month. The plan needs to change. So my dopey joke, which my clients know all of these by now, so sorry clients for hearing these again, but I don't do plans. I don't do financial plans. They're like, yes, you do. I go, no, I do planning because tax law is going to change, legislation is going to change, what you want to spend in retirement is going to change, and I want your plan being dynamic with those changes. So Social Security benefits, the latest you could collect is age 70 to maximize your benefits. The earliest is 62. So what I just explained today is you're getting $4,000 a month. The question is, most of you, not a question, the statement is, most of you are not just going to have $4,000. It's going to be one spouse turns on Social Security earlier than the other. That changes the whole planning projections. There's a lot to this, but I'm just trying to keep it simple. And then what are your actual expenses? So $10,000 a month. Some of you are like, hey, that's great, but I'd love to spend more while I have my energy and health. Maybe $11,000 or $12,000 or $14,000, because I know later I saw my parents or I saw my friends or I've heard enough of your podcast where you talk about your client stories that I'm just not going to spend $10,000 a month. So how does that change the plan if I want to spend maybe $7,000 a month and plan on that for 10, 15 years, for maybe 70 to 80 or 70 to 85. Make sure to plan that in. And the only way, in my opinion, you can effectively do this is with good planning, meaning good software that helps you do so, and then a good planner that gives you the confidence to do so. So once again, if this is something that you guys all are looking for custom guidance on, it's what we love to help you do. So look in the description of today's podcast episode, and you will see a link where you can apply to work with us. I hope that this was helpful, giving you some insight as to what you need in your portfolio. If you want to spend $10,000 a month or $8,000 a month, we can keep going through these examples. Let me know, guys, if this was all helpful. As always, appreciate you listening and tuning in. Love you guys. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Early Retirement Show. If you have a question that you want answered in a future episode, you can always go to my website, earlyretirementpodcast.com. That's earlyretirementpodcast.com. And you can go ahead and submit a question that I'll look to answer in a future episode. Thank you all for listening. Please do rate it, review it, and share it with someone who you think would benefit from this information. If there's anyone out there that you know, I certainly appreciate it, and I will see you all each week. Hey guys, it's me again. Please be smart about this. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as financial, tax, or legal advice. Consult with your tax preparer or financial advisor before taking any action. This podcast is for informational purposes only.